Welcome back. A really, really good Wednesday to you. I am Jim Rome. We start our third and final hour. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are efforting Jordan Poyer, Buffalo Bills safety. I will run him down. He was in the gym lifting. Big game coming up on Saturday, and I'm eager to talk to him about that. Starting off hour number three with some React 2. Dear Rome, to hear that screaming rant come from Sherm, you would think that he's some diva, spoiled ass. Best part is, that's coming from a dude who puts every teammate before himself. Shane in SLO.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, before... And Joe...
Diva and spoiled are the last two words that I would ever invoke or use to describe Richard Sherman. And I'm so impressed with this guy. I love this guy. You look at his background, the way he came up, where he went to college, the way he's handled his business in the pros, what kind of a leader he is, what kind of a teammate he is, what kind of a playmaker he is. This guy's a savage. And extremely cerebral in the way he approaches it. Rome, when you try me with a mediocre appetizer like crab cakes, that's the result you're going to get. No leftovers. Sincerely, Russell Croissant Sandwich. Damasio in Albuquerque. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Whatever you want to talk about works for me. Just have a take. Don't suck. Come strong. Exotic pet guy is in. Hey, Rome Slice. Absolutely nothing wrong with owning an exotic pet. Regards, the co-worker in my office who spends money on supporting their ghost hunting hobby. Geoff and Lincoln. Hey, Rome, be honest. Would you rather have a neighbor that owns a serval or a neighbor that asks if you're going to wash his car next when he sees you washing yours? Lee in Vancouver, it's a good question. I've got no problem with my neighbor owning that exotic cat as long as they get a license and they're a responsible owner and that they don't let it run free so it can eat my cat or your dog, which is what happened. All right, so I'm going to effort our guest, and in the meantime, let's talk Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl rosters were announced, and the NFC roster has guys like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Dalvin Cook, George Kittle, Cam Jordan, Nick Bosa. On the other side, the AFC roster is the Baltimore Ravens. Listen, if you played for the Ravens, or you watched the Ravens, or even you thought about the Ravens, any of that, you have any connection to the Ravens, congrats, you're going to the Pro Bowl. And I'm not saying that to be critical. I get it. They should have 12 guys going to the Pro Bowl. That's how good they are on both sides of the ball. This team is not just Lamar Jackson and a bunch of dudes. It's Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, Mark Andrews, Patrick Ricard, Marshall Yanda, Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, Earl Thomas, Matthew Judon, Morgan Cox, Justin Tucker. I mean, it's crazy, but it's well-deserved. They earned it. Like, take Mark Ingram. Forget what this guy's done on the field this year. Nearly 1,300 yards from scrimmage, 14 touchdowns. This guy should be going to the Pro Bowl on the strength of his interview skills alone.
Freaky L, a.k.a. Action Jackson, a.k.a. Era A Apparel. Listen, my dog. Hey, Judon, hit him. Hey, crank, crank. All right, L. Man, you
broke Mike Vick's record. Hey, crank, crank. I interrupt that for this. We are joined right now, as promised, by a safety for the Buffalo Bills. Three tackles and a pass defensed, an interception and a fumble recovery in Sunday's win over Pittsburgh. For the season, 83 tackles, one sack, three passes defensed, two INTs, two forced fumbles, and three fumble recoveries this season. In other words, he's having an enormous year. An All-American at Oregon State, the 218th pick in 2013. The Bills are 10-4. They're in the postseason already, and they've got a big one Saturday against New England. Jordan Poyer is my guest. Jordan, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. Great to talk to you. Listen, I know you're thinking about the Patriots already for Saturday, but Jordan, can you go back for a moment to Sunday? You're on the road. You're in Pittsburgh. The team was playing on Sunday night for the first time in 12 years. What was the vibe like, the mood, the mindset of you and your teammates going into that game?
Yeah, it was a great vibe all week. We were excited about the opportunity to be able to play nationally and be able to show what we can do. There's not a lot of people around the nation that have seen us play, so it was fun to be able to go out there and, like I said, one, get a victory, and two, kind of just, get some respect around the league for our team.
I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Now, you yourself, you had a huge game. You had an interception. You had a fumble recovery. Starting with that fumble recovery, it came late in the second quarter. The Steelers were in the red zone. It seemed like a crazy play. How did you, or what did you see on that play, and then how good did it feel to come up with the ball?
Yeah, they came out of Wildcat, so it was a low snap, so I think it kind of got them off guard a little bit initially, and, they just had trouble with the mesh point, and, ball popped up in the air. I think Taron Johnson had a chance to actually probably catch it in the air, but, just run to the football, and, good things usually happen when you run to the ball, and I was just able to fall on it, and it was a huge play for our team.
It was. Jordan Poyer joining us. Then on 4th-and-7, with 2 minutes left in a 17-10 game, you pick off Duck Hodges in the end zone. Can you take me through that? What were you seeing and reading as that play unfolded?
Yeah, Sean did, and the staff did a great job. Kodak, and we call it Kodak, where, they came out in a formation, and he called timeout, and, throughout the whole, even before he called timeout, I kind of had a sense of what they were trying to do just based off of film study. And, they called timeout and we were bringing a pressure out of the timeout. And then, they came out in the same formation. And so, I was able to read Duck's eyes and, he kind of stayed a little bit long at it. And I just had a great jump on the football and made a play on it.
We're talking to Jordan Poyer. Not only did you come up with that pick, but the penalty kick celebration was outstanding. We just played it back on CBS Sports Network. Where did that idea come from? And then what kind of a grade would you give it?
I think it's still got some work to do. I think my soccer skills aren't as good as what I would hope they'd be. But all year we kind of been talking about something new that we could come up with, something new and exciting, and it kind of happened that way. I caught the pick, and Michael was like, "Hey, let's do our celebration." So, I think it was probably an illegal PK kick because our teammates were in front of the line, but it may have happened.
I love it. Jordan Poyer is my guest. Now, you joined the Bills back in 2017. The team went to the playoffs, snapping that long streak. Now you're going back once again. How does this trip feel compared to the first one?
Yeah, it all started, back when Sean first got here, just building the culture. And so, now it's different. That year, it almost was, we weren't really expecting to win. It just kind of happened. And this year, we go in every game expecting to win, no matter who we're playing, no matter where we're playing. And so I think just the mindset of our team, the guys in the locker room, the type of guys that we have in our locker room, and, just the culture out here, we just expect to win. And we work extremely hard. That's just our mindset.
You mentioned Sean a couple of times, Sean McDermott. He said that part of the staff's approach is, quote, "We may not be fancy, but we believe in what we do. The guys, when we do that, we give them great clarity. There's a lot of power in that," end quote. So what's it like to play for McDermott, and how powerful is that clarity?
No, it's powerful, man. He lets us go out there, and, he likes to say play unconscious. Go out there, don't play fearless, don't be afraid to make a mistake. And that's when we play at our best, is when we're playing fearless, playing fast. And so Sean, Sean was a DB safety actually back in college. So, to kind of get some, he's had a long history of coaching DBs throughout the league. And so, be able to have his input, on the defensive side of the ball, he's a very defensive minded coach. So, he sits in our meetings and be able to have his input and tell us how he sees things to be played. And, we can go out there and execute it. So it's been fun playing for Coach McDermott. And so we want to continue to keep rolling.
Bill safety, Jordan Poyer joining me for a few more moments. Now, Jordan, I never have a Bills player on without asking about the Bills Mafia and what it's like to live and work in that town where they live and breathe football. That video of the team landing back in Buffalo at 2 o'clock in the morning in sub-freezing temps, and you've got this huge crowd waiting to meet you. What was that moment like, and then how special does it feel to have that kind of support from the community?
Yeah, man. Like you said, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, probably, negative 10 degrees outside. These fans, as soon as we land, it took us, probably 30 minutes just to get out of the parking lot because, everybody was lined up, cars going through, everybody kind of pounding the car, saying congratulations. So, you know, it's real cool, and it gives us a good vibe. So, you know, we want to win for the city. We want to win for, you know, this organization wants to, you know, put the city on its back, and we want to win for the city, and we see the outcome will happen.
We were talking to Jordan Poyer for a few more moments. You know, I mentioned you joined the team in 2017. Micah Hyde joined the team that year. Tre'Davious White also was drafted that year. So how much pride do you take in the fact that the secondary has played such a huge role, not only in changing the results on the field, but in changing the culture and the expectations?
Yeah, I mean, the three of us, yeah, we did come in together at the same time. You know, other guys like Matt Milano, you know, Jerry Hughes, you know, those guys a bit were on that team as well. And then the guys that they brought in, you know, after that with Tremaine Edmonds, you know, Lorenzo was on that team too back. And then, you know, with Ed Oliver and Starr. And so, you know, it's such a unique group of guys on the defense. I mean, our whole team, but on the defense side of football specifically, you know, we all hang out off the field. You know, we're all real close with each other. Our families are all real close with each other. So, you know, and I truly believe that it translates over to the field, you know, on Sundays. And, you know, we work extremely hard. Like I said, we work extremely hard off season, throughout practice, you know, throughout the week, preparing. And so when you got a group of guys like this, it makes the game a whole lot more fun to be able to, you know, you're not just playing with your teammates, you're playing with your brothers, and you want to go to war every week with your brothers.
All right, so when you have a group of guys like that, I know you're not satisfied with just clinching a playoff spot. There are more opportunities in front of you, including that game with the Patriots in Foxborough on Saturday. How do you go about preparing for them?
Yeah, man. You know, obviously, one of the better teams in the NFL right now, and so in my mind, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game, and so. Yeah, a team like that, it really comes down to, you know, just understanding. You know, Coach always talks about understanding your 1-11th and being able to do, you know, your job within everybody else, within each play, and, you know, not try to do, you know, somebody else's job. You know, just focus in on doing your job this play, and then, you know, and then just play football. You know, it's just another football game to us. You know, we're excited for the opportunity to go to New England and put on a show. I think it's a 4:00 game, so. You know, everybody's going to be watching. So, like I said, we're excited for the opportunity. You know, just got to keep preparing, understanding, you know, how they're attacking defenses and, you know, go out there and just play ball.
Huge opportunity. That's coming up on Saturday. Jordan, one last thought. I know you're not looking for a lot of attention for something like this, but you and your wife, Rachel, recently hosted a bowling event to support Andre Sanders, a.k.a. Andre the Warrior. For those who do not know, Andre is 4 years old. He was diagnosed with a rare kidney cancer. How did you first hear about him, and what's it mean to be able to support him and his family?
Yeah, my wife got word of it via Instagram. And so, you know, once she got word of it, it really touched her heart, and she opened up to me about it and really wanted to try to help the kid out, you know, any way possible that we can. And so, really, it was, you know, all her idea. I just kind of tagged along and was like, yeah, I'm more than happy to help, you know, whatever you need to do, whatever we need to do. And so, you know, just being able to go and see the kid and see his smile, man, it just really lifted us up, really lifted a lot of people up. And it was a really cool event. Probably had, you know, maybe 200, 300 people at the event. And like I said, it was for, you know, great cause. And so, you know, I'd do it all over again in a heartbeat. And so, you know, we love Andre and we hope the best for him.
Good for you guys. That's great. Buffalo's 10-4. They've got a big one coming up Saturday at New England. Safety, Jordan Poyer, my guest. Jordan, great to have you on. Thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
You got it. Thank you. Bills Mafia, trying to get you. I'm trying to respect that defense as much as I possibly can by putting as many of those guys on as I can. Love the way they go about it. And he had a huge, huge game against Pittsburgh. 82 tackles on the year and a sack and 3 passes defensed. 2 INTs, 2 forced fumbles, and 3 fumble recoveries all this year. When we come back, now we're open the rest of the way. I do want to talk about the Pro Bowl. And the fact that if you have anything to do with the Ravens, you're probably in it. And I've got no problem with that. Phone lines are open. Hit me up on Twitter. Shoot me an email. Tomorrow is our last regular show of the year. And then Alvin's look back at the year that was is Friday. We're putting our finishing touches on that. Coming up after the program today, episode 109 of the Jim Rohn podcast, Andrew Hawkins is a fascinating cat. Really looking forward to talking to him. That's coming up later on today. Make sure you look for that, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to The Jim Rohn Show.
Goodbye, Windows 7. Hello, Windows 10. Dell's holiday sale helps you save big on the latest business computers with Intel Core processors, plus you get free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL, 877-BUY-DELL. Alvin, I want you to go back to Mark Ingram for a minute. Before Jordan Poyer came on, I was talking about the Pro Bowl and who got in for the NFC and who got in for the AFC. And essentially, the AFC was about the Baltimore Ravens. They've got a dozen guys going, far and away more than anybody else, and they deserve it. Mark Ingram is an example. He earned his trip with how he carries the rock. But he earned a spot in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame with how he handles a mic. This guy's making the world much better when he does things like this.
Freaky L, a.k.a. Action Jackson, a.k.a. Era 8 Apparel. Listen, my dog. Hey, Juno, hit him. Hey, crank. All right, L. Man, you broke Mike Vick's rushing record, man. You the AFC North champions for the second year in a row. How I feel, man? Tell me how I feel, L. Freaky.
It feel good, but you know, we got a lot of season left to play, and we got two more banners to hang up. And
so you're telling me the story unwritten?
Unwritten right now.
Book unfinished.
Right.
Congratulations, brother, on breaking Mike's Vick record and being the GOAT, the MVP that you are.
Appreciate it, bro. I love you.
Hey, man, Thursday Night Football in America. Back to you in the studio.
That is such an amazing exchange to me. I love that because you can see how much Mark Ingram loves his quarterback. And that's not like some talking head fanboy hyping up a player. That's an alpha dog right there, Mark Ingram. You can tell how much he loves Freaky L.
Hey, crank.
That's how you know. Crank. And Lamar Jackson saying, yeah, it's fine. That's good. I'm just trying to win a game here. But I love you too. Crank. Speaking of earning things, Lamar Jackson was named AFC Offensive Player of the Week yesterday again. For the fifth time, that ties a league record. Crank. And he earned it for that 5-TD pass, 86-yard rushing performance against the Jets on Thursday night. Crank. You know what that means. He's already won the MVP. I mean, really, he won it weeks ago. But if anybody is talking about the MVP now, and they're still referring to somebody as a candidate or in the MVP conversation, if you're doing any of that, you're a dope. Crank. Because that conversation ended weeks ago. There are other really good players having really nice seasons. Guys like Russ Wilson, Michael Thomas. But there is no conversation. There is no neighborhood. There is no area code or zip code. There is no debate. There's nothing. It's Lamar Jackson's MVP and Lamar Jackson's trophy, and it's only a matter of time before they give it to him. So give it to him right now while it's still fresh and exciting. Crank. One more thing. I'm never really interested in debating Pro Bowl or All-Star Game rosters. Like, the worst possible version of sports radio is running down a list of people who made it and then talking about all the snubs. The only way to make it worse than that is to have listeners call in and make the case for their snubs. Also, and remember, this is key. If you're going to put somebody on the roster, that means you have to take somebody else off the roster. I mean, it really is like the worst and laziest show of all time. It's a terrible listen. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not getting caught up in that. I'm not going to debate that. Nor am I going to get all worked up about Tom Brady not making the Pro Bowl for the first time since 2008. Couldn't care less. I mean, I really don't care. Because as much as I know that it's the first time since that season-ending knee injury that he didn't make the team, I also know he didn't deserve to make the team. I mean, for all that talk of some guys getting lifetime exemptions into the Pro Bowl, and the fact that once you make it one time, it makes it that much easier going forward, and that people just get used to voting for certain guys no matter what they do, this is the one that they actually got right. Tom Brady is a great quarterback, maybe the best ever. There's no denying that, but he's not having a great season, and there's no denying that either. And what he's done this year is nowhere near the level of the guys who actually did make that team. The AFC quarterbacks are Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson. So let me ask you this. If you're so up in arms about Brady not getting in, which one of these guys is having a worse season than Brady? Answer, none. Which one of those guys deserves to go to the Pro Bowl less than Brady? Answer, none. And I know this might come as a surprise, or it might come as sad news to some of you chouds, but it's true. And I'm not interested in hearing how this would be different if you had a receiver who could take the top off a defense. You know, like, if I were a foot taller and 100 times faster and 30 years younger, I could play in the NFL. Nobody cares. And this is not a sign of more anti-Patriots bias about how the world is out to get you. How this is just another example of they hate us because they ain't us. That's not what this is. Tom Brady has not been Pro Bowl good this year. That's all that is. It's that simple. Get over it. The voters did not disrespect him. They're not out to get you. This is not personal. It's just a fact. He might be the best to ever do it, but he's nowhere near the best doing it right now. And everybody knows that. And the three guys who are in all deserve it way more than him. That's not personal. That's not hate. It's just a fact. It's just being objective. What do you think is going to happen this weekend? Bills Mafia, where are you? Where are you? Before I go to break, one quick note. While Dabo Sweeney and his Clemson Tigers have a look at their third national title in the past 4 years, next month, my man's working on something today that he has not had at that school. Yes, today is National Signing Day. Dabo is looking to rip his first ever number one recruiting class in the country. As of right now, every major recruiting outlet has got Dabo's Tigers number one. Rivals has Dabo hauling in 6 5-star dudes, including the class's top two players. So if you Clemson haters thought that that well was going to dry anytime soon, you're wrong. My man's on a 28-game heater and is following that with the top class in the country. In other words, can you say dynasty? Let me give props to LSU and Eddie O, to the Nicktator. And he had a great class again. They're bringing in talent, some really nice talent. Buckeye fan. The recruiting pipeline is still working, even without Herb. Well done. Jimbo Fisher and A&M are getting some nice traction. That's why they're cutting you that fat check, Jimbo.
Fat.
But make no mistake, Dabo is the big winner today. And for the immediate future. Clemson fan, how you feeling? Get up in here. Dear Romy, what a coincidence. I was lifting at the same time as Jordan Poyer. Signed, Renee Zellweger. Casey in New Hampshire. Lifting your face is not the same as lifting weights. I don't even know how that show turned into that. Like, I was never about that. I never would do an interview with Jordan Poyer and come out of it and say, you know what, he was going to be on earlier, but he came on later because he was lifting. You know, like Renee Zellweger. Like, how did we get there? Why do I get those emails when I've never hosted the show like that? Lifting your face is not the same as lifting weights. Moving the weights around is not the same as moving your face around. And why not? Why not do it? If you don't like what you see when you look in the mirror, man, get the knife out. It's her face, bro. What do you care? She's not talking to you about your face. It's her face, her money, her face, her self-esteem, whatever. Who cares? When we return, I may go off the board, maybe. There's some weird things going on in sports last night that seem like they have nothing to do with anything, but they really do. Once again, podcast 109. Later today after the show, Andrew Hawkins is my guest. I've got an ATP coming up. Adam Hawk, ATP. Alvy's year in review on Friday. Right now, here is the very latest in the form of... Quick reminder, tomorrow is our last regular show of the year. So you might want to think about that. Make sure you get in tomorrow any way you can. Time to answer your Ask the Pros question. Of course, you submit the question. I answer it. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Romy Rome, T-minus 1 week till Christmas. I'm in my annual full-blown panic mode. How about you? Did you get your shopping done yet? Good luck out there. Scott in the OC. Some of it, but not all of it. Like everybody else. I mean, is there anybody anywhere who really is on top of it? Got it done early, took all the stress out. You know that we promised yourself every single year, it's never going to be like this ever again. I'm going to get in front of it. Yeah, no, I'm in the same place as you, Scotty. So where are we doing it? Are we going to South Coast? Are we going to Fashion Island? Are we going to the Spectrum? Are we going to Hawkshood? Fullerton? Brea Mall? How about the Westminster Mall? Back in the day, when we did the TV show on the West End. Yeah, I'm not there yet, Scott. I'm with you. If it'll make you feel better, I'm with you. Probably see you at South Coast, or Fashion Island, or the Brea Mall, or the Westminster Mall, or the Galleria. Or I might just go to the Spectrum, just hang out there, get on that giant Ferris wheel, ride that bad boy a couple of times, drop down, hit up Javier's. All good. I'm not done yet. All right, so it's the end of the year. I'm in a gift-giving kind of place, mentally and emotionally. What the hell? Let's go to Parody Larry. Isn't that what the holidays are about? Parody Larry? Hello, Lawrence. What's up?
Ho, 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 Jim. Happy holidays to you and the crew. And I hope Hawk's Christmas tree's lights are a lot brighter than he is. A special thanks to Brad and Corona for making my Christmas really nice this year. Cha-ching. And a word for Santa Beaks. When you slide down my chimney for your holiday ham, don't get stuck, right, with your fat ass. Anyway, here's my parody for you. My famous Christmas yearly parody. I'm dreaming of a golden ticket, just like the ones that you bestow. Then I could be in the smack-off and not the hack-off. But Alvy runs me, we all know.
That's not a good call. No.
Right on cue.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a
right
very good call.
On cue. No golden ticket for you, Larry. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Man, for a minute there, I thought that was Bing Crosby calling the show. That opens up a line. You know, I said about the Pro Bowl, if you're going to put somebody on the team or on the roster, you got to take somebody off the roster. If I'm going to run somebody, that opens up a phone line. And it did. 1-800-636-8686. It's a great time of year, actually. College football playoff is set. The NFL is in its most critical part of the regular season. The NBA's nightly show of A-list stars, hockey's in full swing. Naturally, you can understand that I might want to take a moment right now to talk about any of these things. Any of them. Or I might want to go in a different direction and talk darts, long distance running, and soccer. Yeah, I said it. Why don't we start with darts? Because if ever there was a drinking game, sport, that does not get enough run on this show, it's freaking darts. Find me two better drinking games or drinking sports than bowling and darts. Find me two sports that you get better at the more you consume. Bowling and darts. Last night, some epic history went down at the PDC World Championship of Darts in London. You probably know that, right? It's one of the biggest things in the world. If for some reason you do not follow darts, every year there is a championship tournament with 96 stone-cold assassins of the corkboard. 94 men, but only two women. Which begs the question, the hell are you cavemen afraid of? The hell are you cavemen afraid of? Last night, we got the answer. Because last night, a 25-year-old badass named Fallon Sherrock toed the line, needing just a double 18 to close out her match against Ted Evitz and become the first woman to ever beat a man in a world championship match. And in a video that has already been viewed 10 million times on Twitter, Fallon Sherrock did the impossible.
So we're on the edge of history. 36 left for Fallon Sherrock.
Game. And Fallon Sherrock smashes the glass ceiling and wins at the World Darts Championship. The first woman to beat a man.
Listen to the crowd. They love it. And how could they not? Freaking history made. Not only that, freaking darts history made. A total where were you when moment. I can tell you where I was. Glued to my couch. Unable to look away. You think I'm going to miss the PDC World Championship at darts? Hell no. And if you're looking for me on Saturday, you will find me in the same exact spot. Because Fallon Sherrock has a date with Menchur Soljevic in the second round. And believe me when I tell you, Menchur Soljevic is a Goliath of that game. Currently ranked number 11 in the world. And if you ask me, that's low. That guy should not be 11. There's no way, no way Menchur is outside of the top 10 looking in. Come on, man. You take that crap someplace else. Menchur Soljevic. When dude puts his elbow in the air and that dart by the side of his head, all bets are off. Ordinarily, unless he's got to run up against Fallon Sherrock. She's a maverick. She's a pioneer. She's a history maker. I'm riding the hot hand. The hot darts firing hand. Get him, Fallon. You're a legend already. So keep that in mind. We go from darts in London to long distance running in Antarctica. And why the hell not? Why don't we globetrot through the B-sides? Because on the continent of ice, an 84-year-old man just became the oldest person ever to finish the Antarctic Marathon. 26.2 miles through snow and sub-freezing temps. You might be wondering, who does that? Who is this old man? Roy Jorgen. It's Roy Jorgen Sevingsen. He crossed the finish line after 11 hours and 41 minutes through the literal definition of hell frozen over. At one point, he didn't think he was going to make it. In fact, at one point, he had to stop and slam a bowl of hot soup given to him by a doctor just to get the strength and the warmth to continue. And he did. An amazing accomplishment. An 84-year-old Canadian man who says he wants to run a marathon on every continent. Five down, two to go. But it's going to be a little while before he runs the next one, either in Australia or South America. And it's got nothing to do with how hard this one was. Nothing to do with him being 84 and running in the freezing cold. Everything to do with how much it costs. The entry fee was 30 grand. 30 grr to exercise. I mean, you can go run 26.2 right now outside for free. But if you want to do it on a sheet of ice, it's 30 grand. So, old man Roy told the press, quote, "I need to give my pocketbook a breather." Man, somebody's got to step up and sponsor this legend to get him his last two marathons. He's freaking earned it. My man's 84. The clock is ticking. Come on now. 30 grand to run 26.2 on ice in Antarctica. That costs 30 grand? Why not just jam them for 50? I mean, if they're willing to pay 30, they'd probably pay 50, right? Why don't we take a moment and talk some soccer? Not just professional soccer, but high school soccer. A high school head coach of a boys' soccer team is in serious trouble right now for taking his players out to eat after their first loss of the season. And it wasn't taking them out to eat that got him in trouble. It's where he took them. Blake White, of Lake George High School in New York, went legend and took his team to Hooters. Hell yeah. As you know from listening to this show, there is no better place to get your sports fix on. And right now at Hooters, you can play Hooters Monday Night Moneyball for all the marbles. So why is everybody coming down on Blake? The wings are piping hot. The beer is ice cold. The Moneyball game is second to none. The school board is saying, quote, corrective action is being taken, end quote. Yeah, that's fine. As long as that corrective action is to give that coach a raise and a lifetime deal, then I'm all about that corrective action, boss.
I'm just about that action, boss.
I'm all about that corrective action, boss. Going to Hooters after a tough loss with your high school team is not a reason to get fired. It's a reason to get promoted. Well done, coach. And I think I'll give myself a little tongue. There you have it. Darts, running, and soccer. From London. From London to Antarctica to New York. Don't ever doubt this show's range. Don't ever doubt. Don't ever talk about me not having range. Don't you ever talk about this show. Don't you ever say that we don't have range. Ever. Ever. Who said you didn't have rage? Everybody. Don't you
Who
ever.
Who's talking about you?
Everybody. Don't you ever talk about me. Don't you ever say I don't talk darts.
Who's talking about you?
Don't you ever say I don't cover long distance running on the ice. Don't you ever say I don't talk soccer.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Ever. Don't you. What up, Sherm? Sherm, you got to be about due for a triumphant return to the jungle. Finally had Richard Sherman on once during Super Bowl week, and he was awesome. I loved it. Loved it. I said, man, I'm so glad you and I could come together. I've been trying to do this for so long. He's like, yeah, man, great, Rome. Good to see you. It took Pokemon for us to come together. Yeah, whatever it takes. That's what he was pitching that day. Pokemon. You know what? Don't you ever talk about either one of us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Don't you ever say that I don't have Anthony Davis on the program. I did. Don't you ever say that I don't respect the Bills and the Bills Mafia and their defense, because I do. Jordan Poyer came on. I'm looking at the latest line on that game. I see Bills plus 6.5. Hey, feeling about that? Leonard Hamilton, Florida State head coach, also made it in. And tomorrow is the last regular day of the year. Make sure you get through. Your hair is different from your wife or your girlfriend's. Dove Men Plus Care has products which fortify men's hair and keep it strong and healthy. Dove Men Plus Care for stronger, more resilient hair, available at Walmart. Once again, I got a podcast coming up later on today. Podcast Ep 109 with Andrew Hawkins. We're going to push that out in a couple hours. Make sure you look for it.
Crank, crank.
Thank you, Adam Hawk.
You're welcome.
Matt in Vancouver's in. He tweets, Team Canada, still crushing it in his 80s. Sure beats Americans losing the ability to walk in their 40s due to fatting out.
Fat.
In part, that's true. There are Americans in their 40s that cannot walk because they're fatting it out. Thanks, Matt. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.